Hey, thanks for joining me, Amy Kelly, here at Lens and Leaves Podcast. Today I am with Kaylee and Seth Hubert at Hubert Farms.
I am Kaylee Hubert, and this is my husband, Seth Hubert. And like she said, we have Hubert Farms.
So we decided to start the tulip patch because, probably mostly necessity, Huntsville's growth is closing in on us. So you've really got to diversify as a farm if you want to stay a farm or you'll be extinct. And I'd always seen the tulip fields in the Pacific Northwest or Holland, and I always thought that me and you should go check them out. So I was in April, right when you're trying to do everything else. So anyways, I was sitting on the front porch, and my daughter has always liked to pick flowers, or call them flowers. If it's got color, it could be a dandelion or henbit, a weed to me, and she's got her hands stuffed full. And I was just like, man, I bet families would love to come, you pick a flower. So then my mind went to Holland, Pacific Northwest, and really dug in and did some research and realized that it might be feasible to do it. And I'm the idiot that bought 212,000 tulip bulbs year one, and we hand planted them. And that's really how we got. But I knew it had to involve the public to be viable for the next generation, because if you're going to have anything to hand off, ag's tough and it's getting tougher. It really feels like the forces that they are trying to drive a man out from just farming and making a living. So you've really got to be crafty. And so that's kind of where it all began.
Listening to Seth talk about that, just it really hits hard because you can see a family that's struggling to create something that's great for this environment and this community, but also it does have a large fee associated with it. It's not cheap, but it's a beautiful thing that you've offered us. So how many years have you guys been doing this?
This is our fourth season.
Fourth season. Did it shock you how much it blew up?
Yes, like 1,000% shocked us. I think we talk about it all the time. That first year that we opened, we set goals. We set realistic goals, and then like
Hail Mary.
Yeah, stretch goals. And we're like, our goal is if we can get 5,000 people here to the farm. And we had 5,000 people that first weekend. We were like, crazy.
Yeah.
It was great.
That it's amazing.
And we were not prepared though. We were not prepared. We were calling our friends and family, hey, we need you to come wrap flowers. We need you to come get money at the ticket.
You all hands on deck.
It was.
I remember, do you remember when I came out here, your first season?
The night before.
The evening before. And it was freezing, right?
It was freezing.
And I sat in the freezing cold.
You had your little girl.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Bless it. My daughter.
Our two kids too.
Yes.
They were like miserable, but then the pictures, you never tell that they're miserable. They're miserable.
Yeah, and by the picture, you would never know it was sleeting, but which is hanging on the wall here at the gift shop behind us. So that was season one, and our kids were much younger then, but it was beautiful. And I think I told you then, I said, I think you have a golden ticket. Like, this is the golden ticket.
I don't know if it's a golden ticket, but it's been good to us so far.
That's great. Well, I know here in North Alabama, Southern Tennessee, just kind of all around, even a little lower Alabama, but like in this region, you guys are known. It's growing tremendously.
It is growing.
People are traveling here.
We saw a good bit of growth last year. So like the first year, obviously, was a huge shock. Second year, I think we didn't lose or grow. We kind of just kind of planed off. And then last year, we grew a lot. And I hope this year we grow a lot again.
We talked about that. And I think like maybe because that was 2020 going into 2021 is when they bloomed. And then I feel like we had so many people that just were getting out of the house since COVID for the first time.
Having fear.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
So we got like people from like all over the first year still. And then maybe that's what we were talking about, the mountains, that maybe like now we're kind of like more people know within Huntsville that are coming year after year.
Yeah, right. And even though if you don't live close around here, it's a little bit of a drive, but I think a beautiful drive and worth it. And there's a lot of farms. A lot of farms are based in this area. Must be good farmland out here. So this
what's
is kind
like
of,
a,
was, yeah. It's kind of everywhere right now. Alabama's definitely growing.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's the furthest that you've known somebody travel to come here?
So the furthest that we know of was our very first season. We had a van full of San Antonio, Texas.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And they came just for this.
How did they find out about that?
I don't remember.
They asked.
It was a mom and dad and like 10 kids. They had a van full of people. And
I just remember thinking there's a tulip farm north of Dallas, and I was like thinking, hey, you passed a tulip farm.
But hey, we're glad you came here.
Yeah.
You chose us.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about how long tulip season lasts. When does it typically start? When does it typically end?
I'll let you answer this one.
So definitely temperature dependent, but I think we've never opened in February. I don't want to say never because I'm always like amazed at what goes on in the tulip patch with our climate, because our climate is so rude to tulips, I guess is the way to put it, harsh, rude. But beginning of March, first week of March into April.
Into
the first week of April.
We've never made it past April 10th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll always be pretty much all of March into April.
I find when I come, if I get close to the end of the season, mm-hmm. it's like some of the field, like, because the ones that bloom first are of course going to be the ones that die first.
Absolutely. Right.
And so you'll kind of have like segments that are still like popping. And I guess that's what's so good about the field is you can always find somewhere in the field to shoot. Yeah. It doesn't always have to be completely in bloom.
Exactly.
So find something beautiful.
I think we're very conscious of that because we fight about like, I'm like, let's close it because I worry about the
field. Like he stresses about like the health and because he's a farmer, he's like soil health, you know, crop health. And I'm like, it's got color. It looks in the picture. Let the people come.
That's, and she's not wrong.
Right.
You know, she's not wrong. I understand your point, but also because as a photographer, I can be like real picky about something that, you know, I see, but that no one else is going to notice.
Right.
And so, hey, these women will literally come and see my tulips and put them on their table. Yeah. So
exactly.
I'm going to look at some of it because like, you know, I'm worried about sending people home with like a expiring flower, even if it doesn't like look bad, it doesn't have a lot of days left or this or that. But, you know, I really find like people want the pictures of the open floor. Like they want them right on the brink of.
Yeah, they don't want a real closed one.
Yeah. Barely showing color.
For pictures, I totally understand. But even I think that people gravitate towards something like open when they're picking a flower too, because they want instant gratification.
They want instant beauty instead of something they have to wait to bloom over time.
But I've thought about this. I've took people out and been like, this one's closed. It's just starting to show color. It's the perfect time to pick it. And I think a lot of people are hesitant to spend money on something that they're like, I see that this is pretty right now, so I know that's pretty. This may become pretty. I'm afraid to like spend my money on it.
Right.
And it may or may not.
It'll drive Seth crazy. He'll stand at the ticket booth and like to slow down, walk people. This is the perfect picking flower. And people will be like, okay, I'm going to go pick this one over here.
So I
just and like Seth done it. Just let them pick what they want to pick.
Yeah, I've had to stop and like, yeah.
Not working.
Well, he just is a people pleaser. He wants everyone to have a top-notch time every time.
I love that. So what's your favorite tulip?
I know what you're going to say.
Probably the
Rosie
DeLight.
Yeah,
just so happens to be we had it. Year one, year two, we've not had it for 2 years now.
Yeah, we couldn't get it from, there was a shortage in Holland and we weren't able to get
well,
it.
Well, the tulip market's really hard. Like you'll put in an order and
we're going to get our order for next year.
Nice.
Well, not 100%, a 75% order.
Right.
And then.
Yeah, and you always get substitutions. Like for some reason you can't get a variety or there's a bad crop.
Yeah, we don't get to choose substitutions. Yeah. So like if they don't have it, they stick it in our order and they're like, "What is what you got? This is what we had, this is what you get." And we're like, okay, thank you.
So when you plant them, do you know which ones are going where? Like, are they labeled? Oh,
yeah.
No? Okay.
By that
they're a spreadsheet?
Yes, they're
okay. There's a spreadsheet.
A spreadsheet, a field map. I do all of that. I'm very particular about where everything goes.
Okay. And so, is there a rhyme or reason to it?
So I typically like our field to bloom in stages. So like when you come in, I can say, hey, right now our front half of the field is in full bloom. Our second half of the field is like starting to bloom. It's easy to tell people that way.
Okay.
It didn't start out like that.
It didn't. The first year was a hodgepodge. It went where it went. That's just, and then I kind of made it into that way. And I also don't like reds next to oranges because they kind of
look
the same.
Too. Thank you.
So I typically don't put that together. I don't like a bunch of reds together. I like it to be spaced out. So just color and blooming time.
Nice.
Yeah.
So my favorite is the one that's like really dark purple.
Queen of Night.
That's a crowd favorite. That one.
That's one that we have to have every year now because people come specifically for that. So
did you guys see the picture I took of my daughter last season with those?
I don't know if I did or not.
And it's the first picture I've gotten of her where her like cheek freckles are just like glowing and the wind's blowing her hair
perfect.
And she has her eyes closed and she's like kind of hugging it. Oh, I have it printed out in our house.
Okay,
on the metal print. It's gorgeous.
I'll show you.
It's so good. It's one of my favorites. Probably the reason why I booked these like this year.
Oh,
we used it as advertisement for the booking this year.
Yeah.
So I always do very limited tulip sessions mm-hmm. because I think in the very first season, I tried to give everyone an opportunity and I found out that the weather is hard and I'm a busy photographer. So like rescheduling on a whim, it was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And so I could cry about a crop too, just as much as Seth probably cries about a crop sometimes.
Well, that's why I stopped scheduling photographers too. Cause you know, that first season I tried to schedule cause I didn't want people to come and be like overwhelmed with photographers, and then this photographer can't shoot because this photographer's in their shot, and it was a nightmare because it rained. These two would have to, or these five would have to reschedule, and I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, it's a full time job just to do that.
Yep. So I was like, okay, you can buy the pass. You can wait for the day after to buy the pass.
Right.
You know, just
whatever you want to do. And that's what's so funny is I'm the photographer. I know I book them, but I know I'm going to buy the pass. You guys have it set up so nicely for the photographers.
Yeah.
You just go online, you buy your pass, whether it be a day pass, whether it be a season pass, mm-hmm. but you can purchase it literally before you leave the house.
You can purchase it at the ticket booth.
Yeah.
Whenever you get there. I mean, it's so easy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do enjoy that. I will say when it's really bumping and like warm on a warm day we get, there will be a lot of photographers closer to that time, but I've never completely just like, I'm not tripping over photographers either. There'll be a lot, but we can all share. Everybody's typically pretty good.
It's 5 acres. We can all spread out.
The only time I've ever had an issue with another photographer, and she literally was right in front of me as we were like checking in, and she didn't buy the photography pass. Yep, she just bought
call her up.
I know, listen. I was so upset because I knew she didn't buy the
pass.
Well,
it's all honesty. It's all on the honor system. So we're just trusting them to make the right choice and say, like, I'm here as a photographer.
Right.
Because anyone can come. We don't charge for, like, moms taking pictures of their kids. And I know I'm a mom. I have a nice camera. But I'm not a photographer. So, I bring a nice camera in, and I just trust that people are going to tell the truth.
Well, also, when you get X amount of people here, we're just playing, defense.
And I knew, like, it's one of those things that it probably happens. There are going to be photographers, amateur or professional, that might try to sneak in and not pay that fee. But what happened when we were out on the field is she purposely went into every one of my shots. So she didn't, like, respect me or my space either, like, as every other photographer does for each other.
Yeah.
She literally just went and got into my background of everything. So I had to edit her out of every photo. So to talk about the bitterness and how long that lasted with me was a while. Until I was done editing for PTSD. Sure. I was, like, so upset. So I will call you out if I see you in line not buying the photography pass. Or if I see you on the field, and I know you have. But, yeah, so that's probably something that, you know, you guys have to remember – they're a family, they're a family business, they're farmers, they're not out here rolling in money, they're rolling in dirt, to be honest. And so they deserve your photography fee. You're making money off of their farm. They provided something beautiful for you. Pay your fees. Super easy. Mm-hmm. Just do it. You'll make your money back. It's a beautiful place. All right.
We appreciate that.
I don't think a lot of people understand how little there is left over at the end of the year because they see a parking lot full of cars. And I think there's this grand sum, but I mean, there's a lot of people that have to come through here just to make our bulb cost back.
Right.
You know,
how much does it, like, how many bulbs come in a bag or a crate or whatever? And like, what's the cost look like of just like one set of flower?
That varies. So the way we order them is we kind of design our bids and we order them. It's not like a bag or you can buy X amount of numbers of a variety. So we're trying to always fit a certain amount in a square meter. So everything is off meters because of the tulip equipment is
in
all
Holland.
Dutch.
Right.
So everything works off the metric system. Okay, so my bed is a metered bed. Well, we want to have X amount in a square meter. So she orders based off the bed size and bed length. Then
the block that you're about to go out and walk in, there's 9,000 bulbs per block.
Yes.
So like that's a good, that's how I like to do it. That's how I want the field as far as, you want it to look full. You don't ever want it to look like tulip, you know, ground, tulip ground. So that's how we like to do it. One.
Shipping fluctuates like crazy because it's coming from Holland. It's been better the past 2 years. We have to pay a full container cost for half a container of bulbs. So you're playing like a game of like you want as many bulbs on that container, but it also starts to be economical. So like year two when... like right after COVID when the world went crazy and there was like a log jam of ports not being emptied. And I think our shipping cost got somewhere between $15,000 to $20,000 on just the
just to get the sea freight.
So
hit with hard to the heart.
Oh yeah.
And that container was half full of bulbs. Because that's about as much as we can buy.
You're paying for the container.
It fluctuates like crazy, and then it's just like anything else. So you have a bad bulb crop, well, the price goes up on your end, or if there's an excess. Rarely does anything seem to ever get a call and say, hey, you know what? It's going to be less than it was.
So, yeah. Especially now, I feel like everything's going up.
Everything.
It's insane. It really is. The only thing that I've had go down is we put grass in our walkways. Had a rough year for that because of drought in September is when you're really, you know, September, October, I'm sowing grass for the spring because you need it established to have good root system in the fall before it gets too cold. And then the spring, anyways, you couldn't sow anything because there was no moisture. Okay. Like at all. Like, I'm not talking about like, oh, it's a little dry. I mean, there was no moisture bone dry in, you know, especially where you just scratch grass in really, really shallow. So I planted grass, December? So it's almost like a dormant seeding where it lies, and then when you get enough warm germination days or whatever.
But you got the call and it was cheaper.
Y'all didn't know y'all were getting an ag talk today,
but I love it.
Sorry, I love the photography podcast.
What I'm impressed with is that people probably have not even thought that about the grass.
The grass?
Yeah. They're just thinking about you plant some tulips and you're making a profit off this, but you're literally stressing about the grass that has to go on the ground for people to walk around.
Honestly, people think that. The grass, the ticket booth that we built to make it easier for people to come in, the baskets that we give people to pick. I mean, we got more livestock, and then we got to feed them. I mean, just everything.
Speaking of the baskets, they're adorable flower baskets. Yeah, they're so good. You can utilize them for your pictures even. So if you're a photographer with needing baskets, don't bring them. They have a basket.
They're the perfect ones. And I'm really nitpicky about photos, really, because that's what drives our business. Like, people come for the photos, for the experience. I mean, photographers like you that share things and I share it, people see it. It's like a whole casting, a wide net. But the baskets, I think, they're perfect.
Yep. Good job. I know. You have great taste, though.
Oh, thank you.
I love all your merch. I love all the stuff that they have here. It's well done.
Seth probably wants to be like, quit buying these.
The merch is right. Women love it. I love merch. I like to want everything over here.
Me too. I'm the same way. I'm like, if I'm not going to wear it, I'm not putting it in.
I agree. 100% agree.
Thanks.
So you guys are a dog animal-friendly farm as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing on a leash.
On a leash. Yeah.
Pick up your poop.
Pick up your poop.
Or later, it's good for
him. Yeah, I was like, he always says
leave it to other people.
For sure. On a leash, we do allow you to take them well-behaved, and you know if your dog is well-behaved, off the leash for a photo. So you can unhook them for a photo, put them back on a leash.
Okay. One time I brought a lamb out here.
You did?
You did.
You brought a lamb, and I had another photographer bring a lamb the next season, I think. Oh, I'm obsessed.
Yeah. They're great, although they love to eat tulips, so you have to really watch them.
So do the goats.
Yeah.
So do all of our animals there. So do the dogs.
Yeah.
You know, we have sheep now, and I'm getting a lamb on next year. So I'll have lambs here on the farm next year. Yeah.
Hey.
Cross my fingers.
Hopefully. My last four lamb farms have backed out because they've stopped doing that. And so I literally have a wonderful client. Brianna, I talk about you all the time. If you pay for this, seriously, I love you, girl. She will buy a lamb every year for me. And then she just takes back to her farm. But hers are not old enough to lamb them yet. So she's been good. We need one for the 16th and she's like, it's due on the 8th. So I'm like anticipating this lamb's arrival as much as I am my baby sister who's pregnant. I'll be there for the delivery at this point. I'm excited too
because my sheep are, oh my gosh, I love them so much.
We did just have two baby goats.
We did have two baby goats.
I love the baby goats. This is about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And it ain't the goats. And it ain't the goats.
It's a white lamb, much less. I'll take one with the spot and I'll edit it out. Nobody will know the difference. I'm desperate this year.
Oh, God.
So maybe we need to get with you next year by lamb.
I don't know. Hopefully we'll have them here.
Yeah. I think they start doing that. She told me that I did our lamb sessions a little too late this year. Because February, a lot of them had the lambs. Mm-hmm. And so now they're, and we do them, like, they're young.
Yeah.
We do pictures with them. They're like, well, a couple weeks maybe. Yeah. A week or two.
Well, they grow so fast.
They do.
They go from lambs to teenage lambs and like
I'm on.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. The fruits. Yeah.
So, and I've wrestled a big lamb down to the ground before because it was way too large for pictures, but that's what the lamb farm gave me that year. And I called it Precious, and I literally scoop this lamb up and like get it down to the ground. And then she was fine, but she's a big one. She's mm-hmm. a big girl. Mm-hmm. Any fun stories about tulip season? What's been the most wild stuff that's happened here?
Oh my gosh. Well, we always have crazy parking lot stories because it's rainy.
Yeah.
And people get stuck. We'll have people out there in a Lexus or a Range Rover get stuck, but they love it. They'll be like, this is so awesome. Oh, so that's pulling them out of the tractor, and they're like, yeah.
It's a real farm experience.
Really? Yeah. We had this.
We should do our best when this, the time of year that it is, so it's just so wet and rainy. It is.
Which our parking lot this year is an established parking lot, so hopefully the number of cars getting stuck will drastically drop.
Yeah. I hope so. I do panic about it every time I park.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Just because, there's nothing really we can do about it.
I totally understand.
To gravel a parking lot.
Right.
That's not economical.
No. They can't afford that, guys.
No.
Initially, our parking lot was rotating because our field has to rotate because of fungus issues mm-hmm. on the crop science part.
Okay.
So our parking lot needed to rotate
with the field
to try to work together. And that kind of logistical nightmare. Well, when you rotate it, the ground soft there because it's not been driven on. And
right.
So now, and we have good heavy clay soil, so I mean it packs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that this parking lot in year two is a little better.
Yeah.
But you know, you could gravel some lanes so that like you can drive in, but you still need to park on grass.
Mm-hmm.
But if you gravel those lanes and the parking lot's moving, you've wasted your money
on
gravel. So that's something I know that nobody thinks about because I'd have people be like, you need a gravel spot combined, and I'm like, you know, there's a lot that's going into why we have not graveled. Right. If you think we haven't thought about graveling from the very first time, you know.
Everybody thinks there's an easy answer.
Right.
But there's really not.
There's not.
Yeah. And I feel like farming's always that way. There's not really
it's an easy. Wild West.
Yeah. It's not always just cut and dry. It's always something. There's variables. Speaking of variables, though, the weather during tulip season is wild. And what are the reasons why I get stressed about it, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you guys stress about it. So what's tulip season look like?
Right now?
We might get good weather, but in general, what does this season bring us?
Typically, the first little bit is really cold. The first week or so is usually really cold. It's sprinkling. It's, you know, we're all out there in toboggans. The flowers are loving it because they thrive in that. So the pictures are perfect.
Yeah.
But it's cold. And then the last 2 weeks are usually beautiful, sunny.
Well, it's 65. North Alabama.
I mean, really at the end of the day, you never know.
Like, I think last year was hitting like 80, 85, and its tulips are like real
tulips
tasty.
Are like,
they're just like,
ooh. Yes, he's over here sweating bullets, like the flowers are dying.
Yeah, 80 in February too. So like it was popping stuff up. We couldn't get ready fast enough to open because we had 80 degree weather and the tulips were just throwing color like
in
crazy.
February.
Don't you dare. Because we had a second winter and then it's freezing.
Yep. And then we had 19 degrees consecutive weekends, 19 degrees in March. Mm-hmm. So we had 80 and 19. And that's what I talk about our climate being rude. You know, Pacific Northwest, where some of them are going, but especially Holland is more moderate. And then you get, I think ours is the volatility. You get good tulip weather for a day or an hour or a few hours. But then you get 80, you get 19, and you never know what's going to be from day to day. So it's just so harsh on them. I mean, if you draw a line from where they're grown in Holland and come over to North America, I mean, I think you would hit like Vancouver, British Columbia. That tells you how far south we are.
Yeah.
So we're by the skin of our teeth making it work.
Yeah.
You know, really, but basically.
And saying that, I think that's why people come, because it's exotic. You're not going to see
you won't find that here.
No, yeah. So that's another reason why.
I think you'll continue to see some pop up in the southeast, but I think it'll be probably established pumpkin patches and they add that to their already existing agritourism sector.
Yeah. And it would be small. I would guess if it's going to be a pop-up like that, they're going to throw some bulbs out there. It's going to be small. Right. This is, like you said, what, 5 acres?
Mm-hmm.
This is a large
For our area, yeah, absolutely.
Which also gives it a great amount of space for photography, for families. Like it kind of gives it for everybody.
Right.
It's a good field.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like you said, I think the exotic factor is good because it really shouldn't be done, honestly. Yeah.
I know, it's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. I mean, it's legalized gambling. So
yeah, well, I think that because of the weather, people clients don't know how to dress, which is always my thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, you have to know how to dress for the session. And so one of those things is you better be in some rain boots.
Yeah. Yes, no matter how much grass I've sowed, it does not matter. Every year it's going to be wet, and you might think it hadn't rained for a few days and it's been like 70 degrees, everything else is dried out. It's going to be wet enough.
At least pack your rain caps. Yeah. Pack them no matter what.
Yeah.
And I have to irrigate them too. So, you know, you have some leaks and stuff when I irrigate. There's going to be wet spots in the field for sure.
I've never cringed more than I had when I had a client a couple of years ago have her kid in like white caps.
White, I knew it.
White.
Every year we have the white. And they're beautiful. It's beautiful. But you don't mess them up.
Yeah,
They better be a one and done.
Yeah, they are a one and done. They have to be.
Yeah.
Like, and then what's worse than that is when you put them in their little sandals and then their little sun sands, now there's mud in between their toes. Like, it's like literally red clay between their toes. It's disgusting. I'm going to crop their feet out of everything. And I don't want to do that because the tubes are on the ground.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, so I'm like, I want to be low to the ground. So shoes are important. Wear some cute rain boots.
Yeah.
Layer. You got to have your clients layer. I know these are spring flowers and you think that, but it's not Easter yet. It's still winter. And these flowers like it cold. You better dress like you like it cold.
Mm-hmm.
Cardigans, jackets, something cute, but it's got to be a layer.
You may hit an 80 degree day and you can wear that, but come prepared. Wear the cardigan or jacket or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, photographers that are going to come out here and shoot in this field, it's very important that you support this farm as well. They've created a beautiful environment for us. And there's ways for you to easily access your day pass or your season pass. And Kaylee, will you tell us where to find that?
Yes, so you can find it on our website. At the very top, you click You Pick. You just scroll on down. We have some frequently asked questions from photographers. And you can always contact us and reach out to me directly via email, which is hubertfamilyfarms@gmail.com. If you guys want to follow along with us at Hubert Family Farms on Instagram and Facebook, we will let everyone know our definitive opening date when it gets here. And we hope to see you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys, for joining us today here at Lens and Leaves Podcast. Thank you, Kaylee and Seth at Hubert Farms, for joining us as well. I'm super excited to say they are a sponsor of our podcast now. So excited to have them on board and working with us. So we hope to give you a lot of information about what they have coming up this year. Lastly, I just want to say they are a family. They're a small business. They're working the farm. Things are not cheap here. Make sure that you are respectful of the flowers, of their property, even down to the grass that's grown. So just be polite and a good human when you're here, and be a good photographer. Make sure you pay those fees and take care of them as well, so this farm can be something we come and visit every year. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.